I do not know what you how you've been feeling the atmosphere and the place and what is happening around the world. One of the theme messages now that is happening is secret place. Say secret place. Psalms 91, that we need to go into the presence of God because that place is the place of our protection, our growth. Cultivate the love of God. There is a servant of God by the name of Rick Joyner, some of you all know. In somewhere near December, he just was taken up to heaven for 8 hours. And he began to talk to the Lord. And the Lord was just speaking. He said, tell my people to love Jesus. You know, the Jesus, to love Jesus. As John said that, let the Holy Spirit, Lord, pour grace that we can love Jesus as God the Father loved Jesus. It was all about love. And he said, my people have to love Jesus, have to live, love one. That is the only place where we can love one another. That is a message to go into the hiding place. It's a time of danger and many things are happening. But if you're in the secret place, you're protected. In Ephesians 2, 6 tells us, the day when you are born again, you're born from above. God takes you and puts you in the heavenly places. And we live in two worlds. You are in Murdoch University, but at the same time, you're in the heavenly place. Switch your thinking. Think from the heavenly place to the earthly place. My feet is on ground, but we are literally in the heavenly places in Jesus. Especially when you begin to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Your spirit just goes into your seat. And you transact with Jesus and the courts of heaven. The church as a whole, today we have been praying. Do you know, in heaven, Zion is there. We are in Murdoch University, in the natural, but in the spirit world, you are in Zion. Say with me, Zion. This is something that we got to cultivate. In the spirit realm, there is no timing. Everything is perfect. On the earthly realm, we are on the natural realm, there is time and things are, there's limitation. We got to come from heaven to earth. I remember going to Bible, when I first went to Bible school, I fill up my form and I submit my form for my entrance to Bible school in the 70s. And the principal looked at me and he said, Joe, from now I want you to look down at your problems and your struggles and all, because we are seated in the heavenly places. I didn't comprehend what he was telling, but now over the years, I realize our real place is in the heavenly place. You tell me to explain, I can't, but that is reality. Recently, I've been asking the Lord, if I'm seated in the heavenly place, show me my chair. A few days ago, I was in a dream, and I saw my chair and my wife's chair. If you want detail, I can share with you personally, but I saw my chair. I challenge you to ask the Lord, Lord, show me my chair in the heavenly place. If you're seated, there must be a chair. You are in reality. The Bible says we cannot figure out, but just believe. And that is a secret place. We are in heaven. You know, as the world goes into dangerous domains and dangerous things are happening, at the same time, there's a lot of progress in advancement, but it's becoming more dangerous. Our safety is to be in this heavenly places. Our security from the from the attacks of the world and spiritually is to be in the heavenly places working on planet Earth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. What the Spirit of God is saying this morning. Just tuck it into your spirit. Say with me, I'm in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. Say with me, Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6. I'm seated in the heavenly places. You are seated. That is your permanent place. I'm born from above. You are here. And from the Spirit, you transact everything. You'll have answers. And it begins when you start praying in the Spirit. There is a lot of revival, and emphasis on speaking in tongues or speaking in the Spirit language with various needs for intercession, in worship, in dialogue, finding the secrets of God. This is a dimension, there is a breakthrough that has come into at this particular time. It's not just praying in tongues. There's using the prayer language to worship God, to do spiritual warfare. You enter into a different realm. I take time to pray. Take time to pray. Amen. One of the things today, we have been going through, particularly in 2009, our church, if you notice, there is a big shift. Leadership is beginning to be formed. God promised me there's going to be competent leaders and a fivefold ministry rising up from the church. And it's going to begin from the young people. And from there, if you notice, prophetic words started blossoming. There are many prophetic words. And today I want to rehearse some of the spirit, the words that has come over 2010. And from 2010, we have been listening to the voice of God, and God decreed many prophetic words. Say prophetic word. Prophetic. You see, when the prophetic word has been released from the spiritual realm, it begins, but it still goes on. I want to put on some, and I'm going to share on one of the prophetic words that God has given. In 2011, November, God spoke to me. He said, there is no limit how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, persecution with the same spirit, same gracious spirit. Can you verbalize this? Because it's good to, because that is what is happening in your life and my life. Say with me, there is no limit. Can you? There is a school of the Holy Spirit flowing into our people, to us. Young people are now the key people. There's going to be a succession. In December 2011, God spoke to us in prophetic word that God is raising up a group of people in the process of developing stature. Say with me, stature. Stature is not status. Stature is what the Holy Spirit moves. What we need is not status. What we need is stature. An ingrowing power of Christ that comes into you. You can defeat Satan. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And stature is what you have to grow. That Christ may be formed. That you grow up in such a way, even Satan will be frightened of you. Stature. God is building up stature. What took many years for an adult to mature can be downloaded at very fast into young people at the with the same capacity. And at that particular time in 2011, God showed me, you know, the young people playing music. They can preach. They can do great exploit. These are what's happening nowadays. If you follow talents, or what do you call whatever talents they have singing. Young generation can sing like professional. This is what is happening. You got to look what God is looking upon this. This dimension of stature will lead men and women to be mightily used in the things of God. At the same time, they will not be destroyed by discouragement, especially verbal criticism. Young men and women coming up, rising star, that is not enough. They got stature that can withstand the onslaughts of the enemy, particularly verbal attack. You can see singers in the past who rise up towards the end. They are now falling apart and there's so many scandal. But God is raising up men and women with stature. Say with me, stature. Stature, that they will be mightily used of God, at the same time will not be destroyed by pride, by criticism, and verbal attack. It's going to be balanced. And they can withstand anything. And that is what's happening in our fellowship in the body of Christ. That they will not be destroyed by discouragement. Watch out for verbal attack. But if you are being in the making of God and God is raising up, you can stand. And this is what I say, the last generation, the finishing generation. The theme for 2013, House of God, Gateway to Heaven. Do you know each of us are temple of the Holy Spirit? You are a house of God, gateway to heaven. There is a connection from heaven as a church, body of Christ, worldwide. House of God, gateway to heaven. We can touch God and change lives. Touching God and you can change life. These are not words, but these are what is happening. Because when 2013, this prophetic word, it was just in seed form. Now we are beginning to see the fruit. And we want more fruits. We want more people as the days go. Many prophetic people say that 2012 is the beginning of the last days. Some even boldly say that the church, the world will not last too long. They give time period, which I will not. But God has His timing. House of God, gateway to heaven, seasons of increase. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has your destiny written in heaven. There is a book in heaven of your whole life. We got to bring it by the kingdom of God and into this domain, into this world. And you can finish your race. Everybody, I pray, my prayers, everybody will fulfill your destiny. That's my prayer. In a pastoral care, I would say, it is my prayer that we all finish our race well. Amen. Starting, you may not start well, but finish well. Yeah. On the day that you're going to stand before God, we want God to tell you, well done, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the kingdom. The key is faithfulness. We can compete in success, but God is looking for faithfulness. Say faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know, we have, God spoke to me when I went to Bible school, and He said, faithful is He who calls you, will also do it. You know, we were going through the Bible school was very tough. Many things we did not know, we are learning. And God spoke to me, faithful is He who calls you will also do it in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And I saw the Lord speak to me, the one who calls you is God, and the God who calls you is faithful, and the God who is faithful will do it. And I literally plunged into this verse and say, God, you are the one who called me, you are faithful. According to your word, I will finish my course. May this be a testimony of your life too. God calls. Say with me, the one who calls is God. So all those who have called in some form or other, whatever call, the one who calls you is God, who made the heavens and the earth. And that call, that God who calls you is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. You can rely on your faithfulness. Over many years, I've discovered God is faithful. God has been faithful to me and Pastor Machen. God has shown himself faithful in every area of our lives. He never default many things. He never penalized us in anything. We went from progress to progress, increase to increase. That so much so the stature of faith that has come into, we can trust you. God, I can trust you. And that God, he will do it. I will finish my my race. Pastor Machen will finish her race. We will all finish our race on depending on one word of the Lord. Amen. Faithful is he who calls you will also do it. And that have been my life that have been, Lord, I trust you. The word of the Lord in 2013 runs like this. The God of turnaround. I want to tell you this. Today I want to declare God of turnaround. It's taken from 1 Samuel when David and his army were coming into Ziklag. The Amalekites went and raped the whole city, burned down everything, took David and his family and the army, everybody, and kidnapped them and went away. They came discouraged. David and his men came discouraged. But they saw the hand of God. The Amalekite did not slaughter any of the family. Because they are wild, cruel people. They slaughter everybody. But in this occasion, none of the family was slain. In fact, the word of God says they slew none of them. And the Lord spoke to me, tell our people, in all your attacks that you go through, there is a divine saving grace of God. And God has put a restraining order on the enemy that is attacking us. There is a restraining order. And I want to speak prophetically. God has put restraining order on the enemy that is attacking you. They can't cross a boundary. You know the story of Ziklag. David and the army went back and brought everybody back again. None was slain. And he said, this is where we came across. The Lord spoke and said, God of the turnaround. God is going to turn around in many of your situations, in your family, in your job, in areas. There's going to be a turnaround. Say with me, God of the turnaround. Things are going to turn. Father, I declare a turnaround in the lives of the people. For good. Lord, we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. And we have ultimate value before you, Lord. We thank you. And unlimited potential for good. I activate this dimension of turning around, that everyone will turn around for you. Things will turn around. You may be going on a difficult path. Things are going to turn around. The enemy is now under a restraining order of the Almighty God. He can't cross the boundary. Amen. 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 Take it from the Word of God. Okay, that is God of turnaround. Then there is a message. God said the power of forgiveness, which I'm going to share. I'm going to share what God has spoken to me. The power of forgiveness. Then there is a breaking of generation curses. Is it familiar? Now we are moving into the courts of heaven. And in the cell group, we'll be having the teaching. How to break generation curses. It's going to go back to 5 generations. And many of us are going to be set free over the next few weeks as we go through the teaching. The power of the renewed mind. Meditation of the Word of God. God has been doing it. You see, the prophetic word 2013 is now being unveiling. It's going to go on. There's going to be restoration of the Lord. It's going to be a restoration for passions of souls. You know, somehow or other we have lost the passion of souls. When you see non-Christian going around, people who are who do not believe the Lord, do not know the Lord, how did you view them? Candidate for salvation, one. You got to have a passion that these souls, if they are not rich to God, they are going to lose. They are going to go into a Christless eternity. If they were to die tonight, they will go to hell and cannot be retrieved. My prayer is their passion for lost souls. Men without Christ are lost. And they will lose out to eternity if they were to die tonight. May God restore the passion for souls. See souls and men and women, candidate for salvation. Say with me, candidate for salvation. And ask the Lord, Lord, guide me, put connection that I can talk eternity. Somehow or other, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, but you can be the instrument and say, Lord, lead me to people who can turn to the Lord. You either throw seeds or you harvest. Say with me, I will sow seeds or I will reap them for harvest. So when you speak, it's going to be the window of opportunity for them to, you sow seeds and these seeds will germinate in their lives. Somewhere or other they will come into the Lord. Claim this. Lord, I pray that you'll put passion for souls, that we'll run after souls. And the church, one of the mission of the church is the only instrument for world evangelism. Lord, I pray that you work through our lives, O God, today and bring back the passion for lost souls. There's going to be financial breakthrough. Do you know God wants to make you for blessing and prosperity? Poverty is a curse. We need to break that. When we have, God is going to give financial breakthroughs. One of the, if you have not been going through financial breakthrough, part of it is had to do with today's message, offenses. Our offenses with people will also affect our financial status. And 2013, we have the God is going to bring Christ in us, the image of Christ, that Christ may be formed until you look like Jesus. That is the process that God is dealing with us and ministering to us. 2014, there is a company of breakthrough believers and a finishing generation. When you look at this prophetic word progressively, I want, may God help you to wake up. We are in a different place. We are in a different season. The time, even 3 years or 4 years ago, is different from now. You have to have the now word that God is doing. And there are many prophetic words, but what I'm going to read one more, and then after I'm going to the message is, there is the download from heaven, 9th March 2013. This is how it's going to come. And today I want you to understand and receive. There is a divine seed of spiritual gift or a calling must be planted by God. Then it's incubated in the womb of prayer, obedience, and spiritual growth until God's appointed time for birthing. I hope you can see that picture. Today God is going to download from heaven into your spirit divine calls, giftings. The church is authorized to bring salvation, healing, deliverance. It's not for special people. As the body of Christ, this divine seed is going to come. And when you lay hands, people will be healing, will be healed. This is an authority download from heaven God is giving. And it is a gift come. And it only comes through when you incubate it in the womb of prayer, obedience, spiritual growth, until God's appointed time for birthing. After the ministry is birthed, then there is nurturing, protection, there's nurture. It must be nurtured, protected, and exercised in progressive maturity or mature until the person reaches the potential of the fullness of manhood or womanhood and ministry. I pray that's to be in your place, that you grow up into a place where you're nurtured, and with your stature, the word is character, with your character you can have a ministry that will touch the world. You will not collapse. There is a difference between the time of one's initial ministry call and a time of fully commissioning to the ministry position in the body of Christ. I speak this prophetic word will take place to this generation and also the coming generation of people in this fellowship, that this call and dimension of ministries will be released from today and will be ongoing. I pray, God, that men and women will, from the hands of Jesus, the apostolic, prophetic, evangelist, pastor, teaching, anointing, will be released as equippers, strong and mighty, to take the body of Christ in this finishing generation to a very high level, preparing for Jesus coming in, Lord coming back. So, Father, I pray for that anointing and that grace to be released upon each one of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. 2014, there is a door of divine opportunity individually as a church. I won't dwell on that, but now you have divine opportunity, a door of divine opportunity. Say with me, divine opportunity. Individually as a church, there is a door of divine opportunity that can never be shut. God has opened the door, no one can stop it. God has opened the door, no one can shut it. People may try to shut it, but they can never, because it's a door opened by God. Amen. Found in Revelation, the Philadelphia church. Behold, I set an open door that no one can shut. God is the one who opened. Take this into being in your life, in your family, in your ministry, in your church, or in this church, in whatever God has called you, in your business, open door. Don't let the devil shut the door. God opens, and he's keeping the door open until you go in. Amen. 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 Say, I receive it. Amen. Amen. Okay, according to the prophetic dimension, today I want to talk to you on the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. I have a certain outline, and we will try to follow this as much as possible. All of us know that when we came into planet Earth, we came into a sea of people in your family, your community, and all your life have to deal with people. And when different people, different giftings they have, and in the mixing of people, 95% of our problems is to deal with interpersonal relationship with people. Say with me, interpersonal relationship with people. There are people of different levels, and particularly I'm talking to the church. When you come, there are different levels. Everybody grow on different levels. And unseen or unwritten, everybody expect a level in the mixing. There is a certain level. Those who are higher expect the people below to come up. And those who are low or has not come up to there is a pressure that they feel. And because of these two dimension expectation, say with me, expectation. You expect people to treat you in one way, and the other people expect you to treat you in some way. Because of this, something happens. We call the law of volition. We step toes, offenses becomes. It becomes an offense. Jesus predicted in the body of Christ there will be offenses. Turn with me to the book. I'm going to use the scriptures first. To put 1 John 1:9. I'm going to give you the scriptures, then I'm going to talk. Okay, 1 John 1 9. Forgiveness only come through the cross. And 1 John 1 9. Lydia, will you put 1 John 1 9? Will you verbalize with me? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, just to put you into straight away, forgiveness can come only through the gospel. Only the finished work of Calvary. Only the death, burial, resurrection, the blood of Jesus, resurrection, ascension, and sending of the Holy Spirit. Only the blood of Jesus can bring total forgiveness. Say, I'm forgiven only in the blood of Jesus. There is no other forgiveness in the world. There is no other detergent in the world that exists where your sins can be forgiven. It's only the blood of Jesus. You can have peace treaties and everyone who do not know the Lord, and you can have only tolerance, but there is no cleansing. Your forgiving power. Today I'm talking about the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness can only come in the blood of Jesus, sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There is no other place where you can be forgiven. Let's settle that, because we are talking to the body of Christ, those who know the Lord, and I'm talking to you. Jesus, in Mark chapter 11, now Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26, I'm going to read. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer, and this is what, I'm just skipping the whole context, but this is it. When ye stand, pray, forgive. If you have ought against anyone, that your Father which is in heaven will forgive you, and Father may forgive you of your trespasses. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither your heavenly Father will forgive you of your trespasses. And then in the other, I want to read also Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to go straight away, Lord's Prayer, verse chapter, Matthew chapter 5. Just bear with me, Matthew chapter 5. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, chapter 6. And this is what Jesus said. Therefore, do not be like them, that is talking about prayer, secret place. And in verse 9, in this manner, pray. In fact, verse 8, he says, he knows all your need before you pray. And he says this, in this manner, this is what we call the Lord's Prayer, a model prayer, a prayer, a governing prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. You got to pray. You got to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive those who forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Verse 14 and 15 is crucial at this hour. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father will forgive of your trespasses. What is God telling us? You forgive us. This is pre-cross, but Jesus is talking. After when he has shed his blood, after he has paid redemption through his blood, the sacrifice of Jesus. Now on this prayer, this work prayer, this dimension of the message is important. You have the power to forgive. Jesus has paid it up. There is nothing to hinder that the blood of Jesus upon repentance and crying out for forgiveness, God forgives you. That is settled. And from now, whatever you're going through, whatever you are, you can say, I'm the innocent one. God is telling you, forgive me first. You forgive first, and I will forgive you. It's quite a very important message that you have. Say with me, I must forgive first. That is what Jesus said. You forgive, I'll forget. I'll forgive. If you don't forgive, your sins are retained. It is in line with the finished work of Calvary. And the power of forgiveness is in your hands today. Amen. Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 18. I'm not going to go through, but let me give you the message. Matthew chapter 18, verse 28. It talks about a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He said that a master, a king, had a lot of servants. And so there was a day of accountability, and he began to take stock. And he found one of the men, one of his servants, owed the master 100. In fact, we put in here as 100 denarii. Just hang on. I thought of not going through, but let me give the context of the whole thing. Jesus was talking about when you have offense in the background of this passage before I read. He said, they're talking about how to reconcile. If someone offends you, go to the person one-to-one. And then if that doesn't work, take two or three as a witness. If that doesn't work, then tell it to the church. And the church will take discipline. He said, to solve issues. Then he talked about forgiveness. And he talked about 100 sheep offending the young people. Then Jesus gave this, as he was giving, Peter came and said this. Peter, the Apostle Paul, Peter said this, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother who sins against me? And he said, must I forgive 7 times? That is in the Jewish mind, 70 is a complete forgiveness. And Jesus answered this. Okay, verse Matthew chapter 18:22. Okay, thank you. And Jesus said, I do not say to you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And then, therefore, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to take settle account with his servants. And when he began to settle the account, one was brought to him with one who owed 10,000 talents. Which is, someone say, equivalent to 11 million. Okay, someone said this. And he was not able to pay. So the master commanded that he be sold, his wife and his children and all that he had, that payment would be made. That means it was impossible to pay. The servant, this is what the servant did. The servant fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him of his debt. A debt he cannot pay. The master, when he cried out and said, have mercy upon me, compassion of God, he forgave his debt. Now look at this, what this master, this servant did, verse 29. So his fellow servant, Okay, I read from verse 29. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him and said, have patience on me, I will pay you all. And let me say it again. I read from verse 26. The servant therefore fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me, I will pay you all. The master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him of his debt. Verse 28, but the servant, this forgiven servant, went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a small amount. Some say it is around 20 US dollars. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you have. But the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him and said, have patience on me, I will pay you all. Verse 30, but he would not, and went and threw him into prison that he should pay the debts. Ungrateful servant. Verse 31, so the fellow servants, other servants, saw what was done. They were very grieved, and they came and told to the master of all that had been done. Verse 32, then the master, after he had called him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debts because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion in your fellow servants just as I have pity on you? Verse 34, and the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he paid all he had that is due to him. Verse 35, the moral of the whole parable. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, each one of us, if from the heart, if you do not forgive your trespasses from the heart. Forgiveness. The moral of the story is God. You know, we are like the servants. We have so much of sin, unpayable. Our debt cannot be paid. Because of Jesus, he has forgiven us. He has forgiven us. The amount of sins that we have, do you know, literally we can never pay the forgiveness and salvation even in our lifetime. But God forgives, and it's because of Jesus. Then this fellow servant was ungrateful. The moral of the story is because God has forgiven us, we got to forgive others regardless. God is telling us forgiveness is given. You got to forgive everyone who offend us. Say with me, forgive everyone who has offended us. So you got to extend forgiveness if you want to live a life of freedom. You want to fulfill. If not, you'll be thrown into the jail where you're to the torturers. In other words, if you don't forgive, you prison yourself, and there will be demons torturing your mind. I pray that you will be delivered this morning. Some of you have been tortured by thoughts and oppression in your mind. When you forgive, you'll be delivered. I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who are like this other servant, I pray, Father, that there will be forgiveness released. I pray that each one of us will be wakened by the Holy Spirit, that we forgive all those who offended us. I pray, Father, and I take authority over demonic forces that is attacking our minds and taking our sleep. I cancel it right now. I pray for your grace to flow, that there will be a dimension to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, I want to approach my message this morning in a way that we can be practical. How can you forgive? I want to forgive. But there are certain things in our lives or certain philosophy that we have in our lives which are wrong. And I want to take four myths. Say with me, myth. myth or mythology is any belief that is not founded on the truth of the Word of God. Say with me, myth. Any truth, any concept, say any concept that is not based on the Word of God. Many false religion have foundation that is not based on truth, on the Word of God, either on a mystic beliefs or something that is supernatural, but there is no substantial understanding of it. You cannot live on that. We got to live on beliefs that is on an unshakable promise. Our Christian belief is on Christ, His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, glorification, sending of the Holy Spirit, the church. And our belief in our Christian faith is based on the Word of God. It's rational. Anything that is not based on the Word of God, we got to take it out. Because you're living a lie. Deception is believing a lie as though it's truth. And it can invite demonic forces. God wants you to be free today. And one of the myth number one, is I need to understand in order to forgive. Have you said this to yourself? When you are, today the message is like, you are going through something and that is filling the blanks. And God is filling in the blanks for you. You could have said, this person has hurt me. This person has done this to me. And you have all the excuses. Then you could have said, I want to forgive him, but I want to understand in order to forgive. In life, in reality, no one can understand the intention of the offender. In reality, people who offend you, you can never understand. I want to tell you this. There are demonic forces involved in attacking you. And the way they behave and offend you has other spiritual implication. And because of the pattern, this is called the mystery of iniquity. Say with me, mysteries of iniquities. There is a mystery. Even in my life, you know, when we go through this, breaking curses, in my generation, I found there's a lot of iniquities I got to sort out. These things dictate my behavior and offend people, offend you. This is called mysteries of iniquity. We can never understand why a person hurts you. It's spiritual in nature. But God is asking you this morning, you do not understand. All you have to do is you forgive. Say forgive. Forgive. If people have hurt you, and you try to understand what is the rationale behind, don't go into that journey. You will never find answer. The mystery of iniquity is very difficult to understand. But if you forgive, God will forgive you. The situation will be closed. Amen. That's the first thing that I want to have. The second myth. You see, I ask this question. That is why I can answer you. The second reason, I want to overlook another person's fault in order to forgive. Have you heard that? When you get hurt and the person get hurt and they come to apologize and they come to apologize. All he said, I overlook your problems. Never mind. Auntie Ong shared the other one. She went to apologize to a person who hurt her. They say, never mind, small thing. You know what? You can never understand. You leave the person if you don't accept that. You say, never mind. You didn't give an answer. You bring them to condemnation. God wants you to forgive because we can never understand the person. I think are you in sequence with me? Huh? Okay, I will. I'm just going through with this. Another great question that I asked in forgiving is this myth. I need to forgive. I need to forget in order to forgive. Have you said that? I need to forget what the person does. I need to forget that the wrong, and I can forgive. Let me tell the truth. The truth of the matter is we don't forget. God made our human faculty, our mind, that whatever happened, it goes like a computer and it stays there into our storage. Our experience, everything is in it. We can never forget. Say with me, I can never forget. As I said, people who hurt you is now coming back into your memory. But the answer is there are two types of memories in life. One is emotional memory, say emotional memory, and historical memory. Emotional memory is whenever you think of the offense, the pain comes up. You feel the pain. You feel discomfort. The next one is historical memory. Historical memory is memory that you go through a process that whenever you remember that offense, there is no pain. God wants you to move from emotional memory into historical memory, and many psychologists tell us it's by time, but the answer is not time, because time blows apart, make the whole thing bigger. It's forgiveness. The moment you say, I forgive, that download of the forgiveness of God, that your memory switches until when you begin to recall the offense, there's no more pain. Amen. I know this is setting people free. This is setting people free this morning, that you have to switch on from emotional to historical. Say with me, from emotional memory to historical memory. And this is done by I forgive. Say, I forgive. May God give you the grace to forgive, whether you understand or not. God wants to give you deliverance this morning. Amen. I met a man by the name of Dr. Gwines when I was in Bible school. He was the one who started the Bible school long ago in 1950. He bought the Bible school, the land, the 10 acres land from his own pocket, raised his money himself. It was a part of a disused mining pool. But he saw the potential. He bought it, made the title deed, and sent it to the Assemblies of God, and they own it. Then he built the Bible school in the portion where the land is, and that is where we were graduating, a small house and a dormitory and a few things, a small place where Bible College of Malaysia was there. In 1956, he built that school, and then a few days later, his visa was cut off, so he went back to America. Now, after a long time, in 1978, he was coming back to see the school for the first time. All the students were there. He was so happy. And I looked at him, and he became one of the lecturers for me for 1 year, 1978. And I asked Dr. Gwine, his age was getting aged, but he looks young, he's healthy, he and his wife. I asked him, Dr. Gwine, what is your secret for your youthfulness? This is what I asked. Because he was so energetic, he's still alive. He's energetic. He was there teaching us. And this is what he told. I'm the one who posed the question. And he said, if you really seriously, you want an answer, this is what he said. I forgive people whether I understand or not. I don't hold grudge. And I take issues of life not too seriously because I know I can't handle it. And he was there demonstrating a life of forgiveness. And his key verse is First John chapter 1 verse 9. If you confess your sin, he is faithful to and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. He said, everyone who have hurt, he has gone through a period of a lot of hurt and criticism, particularly when he came as a missionary. But he said, I choose to forgive. Willfully saying, I choose to forgive. That is his message. I choose to forgive. And as a result, many things happen. He said this, people who don't forgive, this is what he established. The forgiveness can only come through the blood of Jesus, nothing else. He said, forgiveness comes as you forgive. God's protection power. And this is what one of the statements he said. He have noticed people who do not forgive don't live long. And they have a lot of health issues. I think this is something at this generation we got to understand. We got to hear. They said that they don't live long. He had a Bible school classmate, he said, who's a girl who had a lot of problems. They were trying to get issues, trying to settle the issues by saying, forgive. He said, I can't forgive. She said, this lady died at 41, the age of 41, as a missionary, but with a lot of issues. And he told us, regardless how hurt you have been, forgive, and you will be forgiven. If you want to live long, forgive. If you want to live a healthy life, forgive. Amen. You want to live a life that is fulfilling your destiny, fulfill by forgiving. Say, I'll forgive. I believe the Holy Spirit is causing the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness is available for us. You can't overlook, you can't do. Okay, another one is, if you want to progress in this, you've got to face the wrong. Amen. The practical step to release forgiveness, you've got to face the wrong. You've got to find out what is offending people. I have to find what is offending people. You've got to face the wrong in order to change. If not, you'll keep on offending people. Face the hurt. The hurt that is called, after forgiving, check your life. What is hurting me? Holy Spirit of God. Face the resentment. And lastly, he said, face the cross. Bring it all to the cross. It'll change. Amen. There is power in forgiveness only through the cross, only through the finished work of Calvary. The power. In the parable, he said, Peter asked the question, how long would I forgive? He said, 7 times. That's a Jewish understanding of complete forgiveness. But Jesus said, 70 times 7. It means until Christ come again. It gives us a clue. Offense in the church, offense will be on and on and on. Offense will come. Say, offense will come until Jesus Christ comes. Only when you enter into the millennium, that is the time that the offense will stop, when you are perfect. If this is true, fight against offense. Forgiveness. Fight against offense. Don't take it. Maturity in a Christian life. You know, how do you know this person is a mature Christian? It is has to do with human relationship, whether he can forgive and maintain relationship in mature factor, that is to do with forgiveness. How much you maintain a relationship has to do with forgiving, give and take in marriages, in the church. So don't have a very bliss idea that now forgiveness, I won't have any offenses. It'll come. I prophesy it'll come. But you can take the shield and protect yourself by forgiveness. And yes, you grow, certain offenses doesn't take any effect on you. That's the grace of God. You see, all of us will offend one another, especially in the body of Christ. You know, there is Asia, that area of doctrine. You know, when Jesus began to tell his disciples, if anyone want to follow me, you must eat my flesh and my blood. And you know, this number of his disciples were offended. They left him. It will come. But stand up and say, I will now take my place to grow up in maturity, to handle these offenses, and has to do with forgiveness. Amen. 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 I do not want to go to the other process, but this morning, this is enough for us. There is power of forgiveness. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all our sin. Say with me, can you verbalize with me, John chapter 1:9. John chapter 1 verse 9. Verbalize with me. Speak it out. It's good to verbalize, put it in the air, and so you can be protected. Okay. Did you put in 1 John 1:9? Okay. 1, 2, 3. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. If you dissect this properly, get an Amplified Bible or any other Bible that explain. They say, if we confess with God, Lord, I have sinned against you. You agree with God. Say with me, I agree with God. When you, Lord, I agree, I've sinned against you. Lord, I repent. That's all your part. And God's part, he is faithful and just to forgive you. And the Greek word for this forgiveness is he cleanses you and put back life and joy. Life and joy. He puts it into your life. There is a promise that he will forgive you and put back joy. Now you have taken and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and bring us back and put back the original one again. If we confess our sin, I will just conclude with this understanding. Go back to King James, New King James Version. Hallelujah. Learning something this morning. I feel in the air there is going to be deliverance. Hallelujah, there's going to be keys that is going to change, a dimension that's going to change. Families are going to be brought together. If we confess, monologue, I agree together. If I confess my sins, our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And then he cleanses from all unrighteousness. If you can imagine with me, when here is God in heaven, and here I am, and Lord, I've sinned against you. Forgive me, Lord. I confess I've sinned against you in my thought, word, deed, motive, attitude. Lord, I repent. Forgive me, Lord. That's on my part. Jesus, on his part, takes, he's faithful to forgive you. And then he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. All your written accusation by the devil, he takes a big duster or something, and he cleans out and says, it's clean. And so before God, you are pure, sinless, no sin. That is how God looks through the blood of Jesus. Amen. The power of forgiveness. Say with me, I will forgive. I will forgive. It's important this morning. Shall we rise to our feet? Draw me, lead me. Let's sing this song. And I pray for you that you be set free. If this morning, if you are suffering from results of unforgiveness, if you are going through a period of time where people hurt you, be mature. Forgive them. It is for bitterness. You know, when hurt goes into bitterness and goes into that bitterness actually hurts you rather than the offender. And you can't touch the grace of God. May God help us to be delivered from this day. Draw me. Father, I pray. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is about forgiveness of our sin. Forgiving. Lord, repentance, forgiving, and hope. We thank you, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll take, even though the message has been given in bits and pieces, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will deliver your people and set them free. I pray for healing in their minds, their will, and emotion, that the power of forgiveness will flow through from heaven and set us free, that we'll be a people of great joy. Restore the joy of salvation. Restore the joy of salvation. In Jesus' name, let's draw near to God where He...